first survey of his ancestors' gravesites, but he was entirely too anxious to wait.
Maybe we should go.
He turned away to look toward the crest of the hill where his car sat atop twisted roots of a decaying maple tree. He reached to touch the dog tags he still wore around his neck. It was an old habit, one he had not tried to break.
It's stupid being out here this time of evening. She'll start to worry about us if we don't give her a call. You know how women can be.
Bertrand wagged his tail in reply.
We can barely see much anyway. Let's go.
Bertrand did not wait for a second suggestion that they leave and bolted back the way they had come, past the many forgotten headstones and toppled markers, leaping over the tangle of overgrown shrubbery and fallen limbs as he sped toward the car.
Wait! Jared shouted.
But Bertrand continued to run faster than Jared had seen him manage in 5 years, maybe more.
Blasted dog.
Turning his back against the sound that continued to rise from the place, that provoked his heart into disquieted rhythm, he watched as Bertrand reached the crest of the hill. Beneath his feet, the spongy earth sunk down and sucked his boot heels into the sodden moss. He waited until the dog stopped and peered down at him before whistling to order the dog's return. Seeing no indication that Bertrand would obey, he yanked his feet free and turned around to face the neglected cemetery stones and broken statues. An enormous sculpture of an angel with a broken wing and moss-covered eyes peered down at him. He stepped closer, withdrew a penlight from his duffel bag, and pointed the lacking beam of light toward its somber face. Lowering it to read the inscription, he smiled. Yes, there it was. The motivation for his long drive from North Carolina to the Catskill Mountains and Waverly Burial Ground. He stepped closer and placed his hand on the name. Mother, he read aloud.
Grandmother.
Closing his eyes, he imagined the face he had only seen in photographs and drawings. He could not have known that he would regret the reflexive choice to linger. His eyes slid from the not-yet-green bramble and then along wild grape vines that spread out like spider webs to swallow the base of the statue. He aimed the light back to the lower portion of the statue to read any inscription he might find. But seeing nothing, he pointed the light on the angel's eyes once again and let it linger there. Hadn't the eyes been open just a moment before? He was seized with a magnified disquiet that caused his shoulders to jerk up before spinning in the direction of a distinctly new sound. It was much like a gentle hiss, or perhaps, he thought, like the rhythmic fluttering of curtain fabric against the walls in his bedroom that had been caught up with ocean breeze. Maybe if he had gone the way Bertrand had, it might have all gone differently. But the odd compunction to decipher why the sound became the confused whispering of many overrode logic and caused him to remain. What he had assumed was a single curious whisper, born of wind and spring gusts along the river, began to break off into separate notes of discontented mourning. He switched the light off and grasped it into his palm as the murmuring rose up into a divergent chorus from near the graves, each sharing a similar lament. Every resonance in their individual way reeked of despair before it reached a bewildering crescendo and one vocalization raised high above the others. It began to singularly cry out. The wail caused a small wren nearby to take flight from beneath the brush and into the darkened sky. Jared flinched. He had heard something similar while lying in a battlefield, his chest full of heat and metal and dread. Around him, sounds had risen from the blood-soaked city of Ramadi and from the dead. He was always sure about that. The dead continued to wail as they did, unwilling to believe they were gone. Or perhaps, he once surmised, they had been so sturdy in life that death could not take it all from them so swiftly.